All righty, we are ready. I never met Bruce the Moose before. We'll see if he's a heroic character in VBS this week. We all grow up as kids, and I think most of us, you know, that we had heroic characters that we followed or enjoyed watching, you know, from my childhood. Most of them were different than my kids' childhood. One of the heroic characters that I enjoyed was a little guy named Adam Ant. How many of you have ever been watching the Adam Ant show? Right. I don't expect many last couple generations, right? Adam Ant was a superhero. Adam, it wasn't Adam and like Adam and Eve. It was A-T-O-M because he had atomic power. And the police sometimes would be helpless what they were dealing with, and they would reach out for Adam Ant's help. Now, they would call him. Under his anthill there, he had a bunker with a supercomputer, and they would send word to Atomic Ant, Adam Ant, that, hey, we need you. We are getting overrun by this villain. We're helpless, whatever it may be. And he would respond with his saying, those of you who remember it, up and Adam, Adam Ant, and off he would go, right? Flying through the air. Now, up and Adam was basically, let's get up and get at them, Atomic Ant, right? Get up and get at them, Atomic Ant. But his phrase would be, up and Adam, Adam Ant, and he would fly through the sky. And he would head somewhere, and maybe it was a missiles flying through the air, and he would, you see this little ant just stop the missile, right? Or he landed on the gun of a tank, and he took the tank and whoosh, flipped it upside down and slammed it, right? I remember the time when he's chasing the villains, they're bad villains, so he pulls the whole street light out of the ground, and with the whole street pole, he smashes all of them over the head. It was very convenient they were all lined up in single file for him to do that, right? But up and Adam, Adam Ant. And so I put the towel around my neck and I would up and Adam, Adam Ant, and be about my superhero duties, right? I was thinking about that this morning. Because I just remembering again some childhood thoughts of being raised by my father. And my dad used the first part of that phrase. My brothers will certainly tell you that. I don't know how he handled my sisters in the morning, but my dad would come in to wake us up for school. Up and Adam, up and Adam, here we go, up and Adam, let's go, splash some water on your face, up and Adam, and the clapping was part of it. That was the, just the old, you know, up and Adam, let's go, fellas. And it wouldn't be a call to a crisis or a heroic moment in a sense, right? Up and Adam was my dad's daily call to life, right? Whatever it held. We're looking at 2 Samuel 23 this morning, and we're near the end of our study in it. And we're going to see some people who are mentioned as heroes, heroic moments. And there may be days coming for you where you get woken with a phone call and somebody needs you to be heroic for them in their crisis moment of life. But hopefully as we look at 2 Samuel this morning, we're going to see that more often than not, as a matter of fact, every day, God gives us the opportunity to get up and Adam with heroic qualities in daily life. And so I hope we're going to see that. And know that sometimes nobody is going to be cheering your heroic moments, but God sees them. So let's go into his, or be reminded as we have in song, of his presence. Lord, we have sung of sitting before your throne. We have sung our hearts open before you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would take this passage of scripture and apply it how you would. I have no idea what is happening behind the doors of the houses, the apartments that are represented here. You do. You know what's happening behind the walls of each heart. And so I ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, would penetrate our lives with your word. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 8 says this: these are the names of the mighty men whom David had. And the writer is now going to list for us some really incredible things that real people did several thousand years ago, right? And so I want to begin first by seeing the known, those heroes who were known, right? So we read there about these individuals, Basheth, however you want to say his name. He was called Adino, which is what I'm going to go with because that's easier, right? Adino the Esnite, because of 800 slain by him at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three, that's quite a name, right? Yeah, that's a good family name. The three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there to battle, and the men of Israel had withdrawn. He arose and struck the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to strip the slain. Now after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, right? And the Philistines were gathered into a troop where there was a plot of ground full of lentils. People fled from the Philistines. He took his stand in the midst of the plot, defended it, struck the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. You can go to verse 18. Abishai, the brother of Joab, son of Zeruiah, was chief of the 30. He swung his spear against 300 and killed them, and had a name as well as the three. He was most honored of the 30, therefore he became their commander. However, he did not attain to the three, right? To their sense of inner circle with David. Then Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kasbeel, done mighty deeds, killed the two sons of Ariel of Moab. He also went down and killed a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day. He killed an Egyptian. It was impressive. We'll see that a little bit more. Verse 23, he was honored among the 30, but he did not attain to the three. We're reading about these known heroes and what they did. And when we read it, there are several qualities that stand out to me. The first one is just courage, right? What do they got that I ain't got? Courage, right? That's just the lion from Wizard of Oz, if I didn't do good on that one, right? But that quality of courage. We read on the battlefield scenes here some phrases, right? Verse 9, the men of Israel had withdrawn. They fell back, right? Verse 11, we read that the people fled from the Philistines. We have these battle scenes where they're withdrawing, they're running away, they're in full retreat. I can't believe it, but it was 25 years ago when I first saw the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson is set in the Revolutionary War time, and Mel Gibson's character, he did not want to fight in the war against the British. He wanted to kind of just keep his home out of it, but eventually one of the kind of really cruel British dragoons kills his son, and so he gets involved, right? And he's in it, and there's that major scene like a battle that kind of really turns things. And in the battle, you know, the colonial army is fighting against the British, and the colonial army is failing, and the lines are breaking, and the British are pushing their way through, and the battle's going to be lost. And Mel Gibson's character sees it. And he sees the guy who's retreating, and he runs to the flag bearer, and he takes the American flag, if you've seen it, and he runs forward through the guys that are retreating. Hold the line! Hold the line! Hold the line! And the music is swelling, and you see the guys retreating. They're looking at him and going, all right. And they're joining. Oh, man, the first time I saw it, I was ready to get the BB gun and run out in the street and, you know, do what I needed to do to defend Maple Shade, right? I mean, it's just, wow, courage. What courage can do for somebody when they see it displayed on their behalf. That's what we read about these guys, right? We had Eleazar there when the men of Israel had withdrawn. Verse 10, he arose and struck the Philistines, right? Well, the same thing there with Shammah there in verse 11, right? What do we read? The people fled from the Philistines, but verse 12, he took his stand. It's almost right out of the movie. They're fleeing and he runs in the center. Courage. I have never had that moment to charge a battlefield with courage. But we quoted a verse this morning that if you hold to it, your children will be impacted by it. Your friends will see it. The world around you will hear it. As those are turning away from the Lord, if you're willing to stand and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to anyone who believes. I'm not ashamed. I'm going to tell them that. There's a lot of opportunities to stand with this group in the streets and that group, and sometimes it's easy when everybody is like, oh yeah, we're all for it. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, if I turn to this group and I say to them, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, how many of them are going to rally with you, right? But that takes courage. The kind of courage that Joshua had. Many wonderfully have these plaques or whatever on their house. Joshua 24:15, right? Where Joshua says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a stand. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's not easy, right? If the culture is all going one direction to say, hey, I'm going to stand on Scripture. And I'm going to be kind and loving and to all people. And I'm going to be respectful. And I'm going to show the love of Christ. But I'm also going to take a stand on truth and say, this is what God's word says. It takes courage. There's another quality I see in here, right? That of what? Being steadfast, faithful, devoted, right? We read there in verse 8 about Adino, right? It says that he defeated 800 men at one time. It doesn't mean that he did one of those, like 800 guys were just, taken down. It's talking about in one battle. That battle may have lasted a month. The point is, he stayed at it, and 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 he kept remaining steadfast in the battle. Verse 10, when we read about this, right? He arose, Eleazar, and struck the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. In other words, until we had to literally pry his fingers off. He was so steadfast that his hand... It shaped on that sword, and whew, what commitment, what faithfulness. Talked a lot about how great my dad is. I want you to know my dad was not perfect. I think if you asked all my family members, name some of your dad's greatest attributes, not one of us would name patient. Not one of us. 68 years ago, my mother took his hand in marriage. And in that marriage, he brought her, he'll tell you this is true, he brought her a lot of unnecessary stress and strife. But her hand clung to that marriage, and somehow it accommodated his grip, right? And that's, any of you who have been married, that's true. That It doesn't make sense that two different human beings come together in marriage and all of a sudden we feel the same way about everything and we're always on the same schedule and we're always saying the same things that each other wants to hear and we're always noticing what needs to be. You know that's not true. And remember, the scripture that we're reading, the marriage that we're reading about in scripture, they didn't even get to pick who they were going to marry, right? So in that culture, like, I love our Western culture. I love that we get to fall in love and choose who we're marrying. But the biblical principle of marriage isn't even built on that. It's built on being steadfast, right? And learning to accommodate that grip, but still hold on. If you've been through a divorce, I'm not here throwing something over your head, because it may well be you were steadfast and that other person said, it doesn't matter how steadfast you are, I'm leaving. It may have been you look back and you say, yeah, there were things I had to confess to the Lord. My point is, as where you are today, that sense of being faithful, steadfast, what Paul writes to the Corinthians, you can be heroic daily. In that role, right? When Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That work of the Lord can be domestic in your house. It may be raising children, right? To keep at it. I remember I had a newspaper route, and when the Burlington County Times came out, again, those of you who were around then, the Burlington County Times was new. We served the newspaper for free for 6 weeks. And then you went out with your branch manager to see how many customers you could get. Now, obviously, if you did a lousy job serving the newspaper for 6 weeks, you might not get that many, right? But I remember there was all sorts of prize levels. And there was a prize level of getting like 20 customers. At that point, you got two walkie-talkies. And we're out on Saturday morning, and I'm out with this guy, and I don't know, 11 or something, 10, maybe 11. But I told you, I was a homeboy, and all of a sudden, I hit the 20th customer. I got the walkie-talkies. And the manager goes, man, we're doing great. Let's get a bite to eat if we stay out here all afternoon. I want to go home. And I remember saying, that's it, I want to go. What? You can't quit now. You're my best newspaper guy. We got 20 in the morning. I want to go home. And I did. That's it. I got the walkie-talkies. That's all I wanted, right? And I went home. I gave up. It's heroic for you to provide for your family daily. It's heroic for you to serve your family daily. It's heroic for you to guide your children with discipline. And you tell them, no, you have to be in at this time. No, you can't go do what your friends are doing. No, you can't be involved in this. And they look at you and they say, did you ever know that you're my hero? No, they're not gonna sing to you, right? No, you're the worst. I can't wait till I'm 18. I can move out of here. I don't know, but my point is, stay steadfast in church. I loved the podcast that Samantha, Chandler. Don't say Samantha Thompson. Sammy Chandler. Like Chandler was on. She's married. I want to make sure I get the name right, right? But she gave testimony about her dad, Bruce. The Bruces that we've had in this church that are with the Lord, right? And she said, a thing about my dad, people over here might have not been happy about this, happy about that, and he's getting this. He just stayed faithful at ministry and what he was doing. And I see that in her, and I see it in many of you, right? Stay steadfast. I don't like this going on. I don't like that going on. I don't like everything either. But I'm going to stay steadfast. I'm not going to quit serving just because somebody criticized my ministry, right? I got to keep moving along here. Resourceful. They were resourceful. Verse 21, he killed an Egyptian, this guy, and the guy was an impressive man. Now the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down with a club Beat him with a club, right? My point is, what has God given you? You know, for 35 years, I've been a pastor, almost 32 here, but 35 total. And I've been to conferences, books, articles. This is the way you do ministry. You do these 7 steps, or you do this, or you do that. And I'm just one of those guys who sits and I say, all right, let me see what I can learn. There's value to it. But from what I've read, there is no one way to do ministry, right? That's just your preferred way. Don't put God in a box. Somebody might say, you don't go fight that guy with a spear with a club. Well, that's all he had. So he took the club and he went and he won the battle. Say, I'm not the greatest teacher. Well, you don't have to be the greatest teacher to teach. If I thought the greatest preacher had to preach sermons here, I wouldn't be up here. Not the greatest preacher. So what has God, be resourceful. What has God given you? You're going to serve in VBS this week. What do you bring? Whatever God's given you, bring that, right? Whatever qualities, right? But what a reminder that every day you can get up and at them with courage, steadfast, resourceful. Be the daily hero that God has equipped you to be. And most likely you're not going to be known to the world. And that's the second thing. Second and third thing are much quicker, all right? The second thing is the unknown. The known and then the unknown in here. After describing these heroic moments, the writer goes into a list on verse 24 all the way to verse 39, right? And Asahel, the brother of Joel, was among the 30, Elihan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shammai, the Haradite, Eliah, blah, blah, blah. And he's just mentioning names. What great things did Ira, the Ithrite, do? I don't know, because we're not told what he did. We just know he's listed among the mighty men. But we don't get to hear. I remember when Greta and I were dating in college, and I was convinced she was for me, but she wasn't convinced that I was for her. I mean, I was for her, but she wasn't convinced that I was the guy for her, is what I mean. And she had gone on a ski trip with a group of people. And I remember her getting back and, and her saying to me, oh, and she used a phrase several times that my ego just didn't, we had the best time. Oh, we had the best time. I'm being honest with you about my heart. I mean, you had the best time. I wasn't there. How did you have the best time without me, right? And I'm listening, I want to be her best time. And, you know, and when you're hearing other people being exalted or recognized and things that we did with them, it's very easy to say, what about the night we went into the city? Was that one of the best times, you know? Or, like, you know, maybe you would say, man, he was high maintenance. I Greta might agree with you, right? But it would be very easy to hear somebody say, hey, what about the Philistines I killed? How about the ones I killed? It was 110 degrees in that craft room. Nobody mentioned my name or whatever. We'll see what happens this week, right? The unknown. You know, the unknown. And the thing is this. We read this list, but there's a whole other group. There's a whole other group that could feel it more. Leon Wood writes about David's army. The core of his army has been 600 original faithful men who left King Saul and have been following David for all these years. Right? Now, some of them are mentioned in this group, but 570 of them are not. At least you got your name mentioned. Goodness, you know. I think about, I keep my eye on the clock, but Hebrews chapter 11, you know, I read Hebrews chapter 11 and sometimes I sit next to Joshua as he's reading it. You know, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho when the walls came tumbling down, right? And the writer of the Hebrews is talking about some of the heroes, and Joshua's reading Noah, yeah, Abraham, woo, Moses. Moses brings them in verse 29 out of Egypt. Joshua says, this is my part. When I take them into the promised land, in verse 29, they come out of Egypt. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient. Huh? Right? Doesn't he know the song? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. It's not only that group, right? The 600. How about the rest of them? Do you know David had an army, we read it in Chronicles, I'm not going to turn there, of 288,000 men. That was his standing army. He had 24,000 men. They served 1 month at a time. But he could call all 288,000 if needed. Oh, the tremendous value of the unknown who get up and at them. Talk to Todd Hyland. He's serving right now down in Children's Church. See him walk through an airport in that pilot jet suit. Oh, I'm going to get me one of them when I retire, you know. And just walk through the airport. You know. Oh, now he's down with the kids, teaching them. Nobody sees, right? But when he's the pilot even, he has told me there have been times he brought the plane through a storm and all the passengers, whoa, give the pilot a round of applause. But what's Todd focused on? He's focused on the unknown mechanic who made sure that the plane was able to get through the storm. And the unknown mechanic is focused on the unknown engineer who considered the forces and the turbulence and designed the right parts. Oh, how grateful for the unknown. Chuck Swindoll talks about Philippians 2, those who write, consider others more important than themselves. It's a verse, we're going to be hot tonight and midweek and oh. But to be able to hold on to it, Chuck Swindoll says that when he observed the beauty of the unknown serving in church, when you don't care about who gets the credit, you never complain about the role you fill. The known, the unknown, and lastly, the one who knows. The one who knows it all. You know, Paul says to the Philippians, I could do this, I could do this, I could do that, but if I don't love, I'm like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. God's not impressed with noisy gongs and clanging cymbals. He's not impressed when Vince McDonald says, oh, wait, I didn't get recognized. He's not impressed. You know what Jesus is impressed with? We read about it in Mark chapter 12 when he's watching, because he is watching and he sees you, and he'll see you tonight at VBS, he'll see you at your house, he'll see you whatever daily duty you've been called to be a hero at.